Cyber 24 is presented by our friends at Valcom. Valcom is a Utah-based IT solutions and services provider with a drive for getting IT right. From ironclad security to computing and beyond, Valcom's 35-plus years means they have the experience and the expertise to help your business from desktop to the data center. Check them out at vlcm.com. And welcome into the Cyber 24 podcast, the weekly pod dedicated to helping business and governmental leaders like yourselves better understand the often intimidating topic of cybersecurity so you can make better decisions for your organization. My name is Marty Carpenter of 24/9. I work in strategic communication, public affairs, government relations. This week, I sit down with Trung Tron, the founder and CEO of Amplio.ai. He has an interesting perspective on artificial intelligence, and his company's working on a way to put AI to good use for employees first, and from that, help the company avoid burning people out. Here's our conversation. All right, I want to welcome in our guest from Amplio.ai, the founder and CEO, Trung Tron. Thanks so much, Trung, for being here with us today.
I appreciate you guys inviting me over. Cyber is very deep, near and dear to my heart, so this is going to be a great call.
Yeah, well, we're going to have a great conversation. I want to give our listeners a little bit of background on you individually and on the company first. So let's start with you, because I think this is really interesting. An Air Force graduate, you were a cadet at the Air Force Academy, and then went on for some postgraduate work as well. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. I was in the military. I worked at National Security Agency for like 6 years, and then went over to Silicon Valley, worked for Intel, HP, basically any company that did anything with data centers and data processing. I worked in those companies. During that time, I got my MBA from Wharton because I really wanted to figure out how to run a technology company. So HP, I was an engineer at CyberSemTech. I was in operations. And I did a bunch of sales work for startup companies. Intel was in marketing, and I didn't want a finance job. So I got a finance degree from Wharton. That's how it worked out for me.
That's a pretty eclectic. I don't know, eclectic may not be the right word, but that's a pretty cool background. And so, Air Force Academy. We were talking before that you learned to ski while you were in Colorado. But like, what did you take from your time at the Air Force Academy that's really helped you in your career?
I think, you know, a lot of it's like perseverance. I think, you know, when I was at Air Force Academy, you know, there are always good times and bad times. You know, I always joke that no one has like the best time at Air Force Academy, right? And it's like a party school. And so, you know, you just go, you know that there's going to be things, times you get knocked down, and you guys kind of learn to get back up, right? Yeah. And not be too, in love with yourself. Sometimes I see that, you know, kids, when I was doing the Air Force Academy, kids that come from good schools around the country, they're number one in their class, something like that, you know, they're the big fish. And now you go into a fireman, this is true of any school, right? That's got a good reputation. You're the same as everyone else, right? You're not special. Yeah. And I think sometimes people have problems not being special. And I think that's what the Air Force Academy teaches. Like, not take yourself too seriously and be able to get up when you get knocked down.
Yeah. Right. I've had friends who've attended the academies, various service academies, Air Force in particular, because I went to high school in Colorado. Okay. And I've seen videos of like sort of what your first day at the academy is like. And I realized that I would not have made it past the first day. So, you know, a big salute to everyone who goes and does that and is built for that a little bit more. Tell me a little bit about Amplio.ai. Sure. What does the company do? How'd you come up with the idea and sort of give us a good positioning on Amplio.ai?
Sure. So Amplio is amplify in Latin, and our idea is to amplify people. The P in the middle of Amplio stands for people. So it's the center of what we do. And how we do that is we want to make sure that people make good decisions. One of the problems we have today is that we're inundated with data. Everyone wants to collect data on you, right? You're like wearables, you're collecting data. Everyone's collecting data, but not many of us have a big data analytics department that actually can analyze that data and tell us what to do. And really, you know, being able to understand information and take advantage of it is how people are going to empower themselves in the future, right? And so instead of trying to keep up with machines, collecting all the data from you, why not create an AI that does that for you? And so that's kind of the genesis of the company. And then what we said, how can we apply this to help people the most? And with the pandemic and with the surge of mental health issues in America, we said, you know, this is an area where people don't know a whole lot. They're almost afraid to dive into it. There's a lot of information out there, but they don't know which one's correct, which one to do. And so, you know, I think AI could help people find their path, their journey, right? I think too much of, wellness and then mental health is cookie cutter. You know, it's like, here's your 12-step program for this. Here's your 12-step program for that. There's no real customization, personalization. And people need that to really, you know, do behavior change, right? To really make an effect on their lives. It's not just about doing the program. It's about how do I change my life to be able to deal with the stresses. And again, AI can do that. AI can monitor, AI can inform. And that's really kind of the idea of the company.
Mm-hmm. I'm sort of a branding geek, and I like that. I like putting thought into names, and even if they're not like something that jumps out and is so clear right away, I love the way you walk through that. That, you know, there's a P right in the middle, and that's people in the center. And Amplio amplifies people. Talk to me a little bit about the way you amplify people, because, you know, when I first started looking in to your background and to Amplio, I thought, okay, well, it's artificial intelligence. I understand kind of what we'll talk about there, but this is sort of a different take. I think a lot of times, even in a business context, you know, you talk about people collecting or companies collecting data on people so that they can better ultimately sell them something, right? Sure. And I think people have sort of become either super accepting of that, like whatever, all my data is out there and I like it when I get the kind of ads I'm supposed to get, or they're very protective of their data and they suddenly sort of want to be as much off the grid as they can be. But we're talking about something different here, because as I looked into this, this is sort of how you help people by dealing with anticipating when they're stressed. And it's less like, hey, we're working to sell you something or try to get you to do something. And it's almost the reversal of that, if I understand it correctly, understanding what's going on with someone and from that, how they can be helped.
Well, I think, you know, one of our lead advisors' name is Andy Walsh, Dr. Andy Walsh. He's a former director of Red Bull's Performance Lab, ran US Olympic ski team's performance group. He said, Trung, if you put a mirror in front of people and they can see what's wrong, they'll try to fix it. They'll try to get better, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times we're just not self-aware, right? We don't know if issues, don't know where we're in stress. In fact, you know, most of your life, you're just told to work harder, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a sign of courage or a sign of you know, how tough you are, you know, if you can deal with all the, you know, all the stress coming onto you, right? You just put it all on your shoulders to be like Atlas and walk around the world, right? Kind of thing on your shoulders. And in reality, I mean, people can't do that. You know, people get burnt out. Like last year, 76% of employees got burnt out from the stress of the pandemic and the fact that their day's not capped. And we just don't know when to stop, right? We just don't know how to take care of ourselves. And so the AI we have is really centered on them. So we don't, like when we look at marketing AI, you know, you're looking at broad statistics, like all men of certain age like this, or all women like this, and this is what you market to them. And for us, we realized early on when we're doing human performance that, you know, a person that's 6'4 and a person that's 5'2, they can't run the same. So they can't train the same. They have the wrong morphology, the wrong mechanics, all that stuff, right? And same thing with mental health. You know, how you grew up will determine how you react to stress. How much, you know, how much do you recognize stress and how much, how you deal with it, right? But, you know, when you come from a family that maybe wasn't that in tune with themselves, right? Then you don't have the skill set to do that, right? And so from that standpoint, the biggest thing we do from an AI standpoint, we don't try to replace people. We don't like to do big statistics to, like, you know, figure out. So we're not automation. You know, we're not just trying to replace you. We're not big statistics to go market to you. We're like, we want to learn as much about you so you can understand yourself and give yourself the tools you need to succeed, right? Because we realize that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're not going to whip out an app. You're under stress. You know, we everything's coming. You know, the house is on fire and all that stuff. You're going to whip out an app and figure out how to do a coping strategy for stress, right? Yeah. We want to teach you the skills to recognize when you're under stress and what best way to cope with it for you, what coping strategies work for you. And so we do that with wearables as well as psychometric data where we're constantly monitoring you. Right. And so, you know, when you look at emotions, look at mental health, people don't realize it's not a binary system. You're not just happy or sad, right? There's degrees as you fluctuate. I call it more of a curve. And so it just moves a lot. And so, you know, if you see a therapist once a week or, you know, you never see a therapist, right? You know, and you're trying to deal with things that are coming at you, those things change, right? It's not always the same thing every day. I mean, if, you know, every day we woke up and we had the same lion in front of our door, we probably don't have a lion, right? But at the end of the day, you know, things are just coming at you pretty quick. Eh? You know, if a pandemic was something that you had predicted, then good Lord, you're a good precog, right? Here's a pandemic and there's a big lion in front of our door. And how do we deal with all the things that are constantly changing about, right? And so that's kind of the idea for us is that, you know, if what AI needs to do is help us understand ourselves, but helping out by monitoring us, they call it the monitored life, right? A lot of people do it like for running and for like biking and all that kind of stuff. But what if you actually understood how you feel, how you react to things? Could we reflect that back to you? Could we alert you when we think you're over your threshold, when you don't think you are, so that you can actually be able to deal with things before they become too bad, before you get to that straw that breaks your back, right? Kind of thing. That's the idea for us is that if we can monitor and assess you and give you that data. And that's the thing for us is that you own the data. It's your life. It's what makes you happy. I'm not going to market that to anybody. Who do I market to, right? And, you know, we even had talked to a bunch of organizations where they wouldn't even like to see that data. Like, we don't want to be anyone's nanny. That's what they told me, right? Your boss doesn't want to be your nanny. He doesn't want to see if Marty's happy or sad and what he can do to like change Marty's life, right? We like to have the skills so you can handle it yourself. And that's what they're really looking for is the ability to do that. So that's kind of the thought process for us is that let's build a mirror. Let's build based only on their data because they want to see reflection of themselves, not the reflection of a population or people that may be like them, but who they are, what they prefer to do, and how things affect them. And once they learn that, and you can help them improve, then you can help them improve certain areas in their life. That's the biggest thing people give a behavior change, is that you have to want to change, right? Sure. You know, I think my doctors told me eat well or eat less. I think keto diets and everything in front of me. And I'm pretty sure I don't do any of it, right? Kind of thing. You know, because there's no event that forces me to do it, right? And so the same thing here is that if I'm not aware of what's really happening to myself, I'm not going to make the change I need. And that's really where it starts, right? It doesn't mean your wife thinks you're depressed or your, you know, your husband thinks you're anxious, right? You know, is do you feel that way? Do you think you have an issue? And there's something you can do for yourself, right? And that's really, I think, the beauty of AI, because A, it's private. You're talking to an AI, so it's non-judgmental. We just collect data, right? And we provide that data back to you. It's constantly monitored. So you get understanding how you change, what your baselines are. So we kind of give you a lot of false positives so that you don't freak you out when you don't need to be freaked out, right? And so from that standpoint, that's kind of our approach to AI, is like building something that's very personalized, that's really about helping people understand the information that's being collected on them and collecting relevant information so they can make good decisions. That's right. Really our approach to AI.
Organizations worldwide spend billions of dollars a year on cybersecurity, yet continue to be overwhelmed by security alerts, cyber attacks, and data breaches. Why? Because managing security based on multiple point solutions and manual processes cannot keep pace with the ever-changing threats and environments. Your team just cannot react fast enough. With Checkpoint Software Technologies, you can take back your security. With Checkpoint Infinity, you can consolidate all your security functions in one place for stronger security. With a single console and one unified policy, you can manage all of your security, including your users, devices, data, applications, wherever they are. With Checkpoint Infinity, you can achieve the best security against both known and unknown threats across all networks, cloud, and mobile devices, all managed centrally, enabling IT to tackle targeted campaigns in real time and ensure business continuity. Learn more about consolidating your security solutions with Checkpoint by visiting VLCM. You've all seen the headlines. Every 39 seconds, there's a new attempted cyber attack in the U.S. As the threat landscape becomes more complex, the need for security operations is greater than ever before. It's time to put experts in your corner. For something as important as your organization's security, having a named engineer and analyst paired with you is critical. Arctic Wolf is a leader in security operations, utilizing a cloud-native security analytics platform to deliver security operations as a concierge service. Arctic Wolf's Security Operations Center as a service is always on guard, with security experts monitoring your environment 24/7. Don't become the next headline. Learn more about Arctic Wolf's redefined cybersecurity approach at vlcmtech.com/arctic-wolf. That's vlcmtech.com/arctic-wolf.
Help me understand, do you generally work with, are your clients usually a business, a company that says, hey, we want to help all of our employees by providing this for them, or is it individuals? Is it a mix of the two?
We mostly go with companies. You know, right now we're mostly in the DoD. We're working a lot of cybersecurity professionals, right? Cybersecurity is like one of the worst jobs in America. 60% of cybersecurity people want to quit. I think 68% of organizations say they're understaffed and they can't deal with all the problems coming at them. And it's really a job that's not rewarding. It's like being a police officer or a fireman, right? You don't get rewarded. You only because everything's going well.
Yeah.
You get punished when something goes badly. Right? Yeah,
it's like being a goalie in hockey, right? Like as long as you stop the puck, everyone's happy. When it goes in, everyone looks at you, even though 25 things happened in front of you to let the puck in the net. I get you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're not perfect. And you can't, you know, never make a mistake. I think that's one of the problems in cyber. As we used to back in the day of the feudal age, build castle walls. We kept all the bad guys up by building larger and larger walls. We put lots of things on them, you know, weapons and people and all that stuff. And then there was always a drunk baker who opened up the back door, or, you know, someone, you know, some person opens up and all of a sudden people flood in and you're done, right? And then that's why, you know, when you look at military, we moved away from walls. Towns don't have walls anymore, right? Mm-hmm. We try to move and go to the adversary and try to stop them before they get to our town, right? Mm-hmm. The funny thing is that, you know, in cyber, we're building walls. We build these very complicated, complex walls, very expensive, all instrumented. And then we look at the person, you know, the drunk baker, let's go figure out what he's doing, right? With all that information and all that things. And it's a very stressful job. So we work with businesses in that regard. The second reason why we work business, because we think, you know, a lot of stress is job related, right? And especially in cyber. And so, you know, there's a value there. And then the second thing for us is that most Americans get their help from the company, right? You know, when you look at healthcare benefits, you look at those kind of things they get from the company. So, you know, one of the things that we realized early on is that we're not going to replace a therapist. You know, we're not in the game of actually treating something that's chemical and then like prescribing drugs or whatever, that kind of thing. We can get you kind of take care of yourself. And then if it gets to the point where you can't take care of yourself, we recommend you to somebody. And in a company situation, like in the Air Force, there's resources you can refer people to, right? You know, whether it's EAP, employee assistance programs in a corporation, or, you know, it's a squadron psychologist, right? In the military. So, you know, having that resource right there available and easy to refer to is great. I don't want you kind of like as a person who's expressing or in mental health issue and need to see a professional trying to find one, right? You know, and also the last thing is, we used to work with a bunch of baseball players over the course of summer, and they always trying to figure out how to get their head into the game for a 62 game season. And they said, don't tell me the day, just tell me what to do. But also they said, you know, they can dial up a doctor and speak out. Now they're millionaires. They can get a sports therapist or whatever to come to their door, you know, within a minute of knowing. I'm like, that must be nice. Cause I'm pretty much sure I had to schedule with Kaiser and all this other stuff, right? So I can get help. But that's the thing. So we don't want to just leave you hanging. You know, if we get to the point where you need extra help. And so those are the two reasons why we really go to organization. We think job related pressure and burnout is a huge issue these days. Like I said, 76% of people are burnt out from last year, right? And so there's a lot of mental health stress from just working, right? And then especially in our country where we're kind of overworked. And then the idea is that, you know, if we have to refer to real help, what organization that best handles that is your job at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the you mentioned monitoring people all the time and using wearables to do that. There's that old principle that, like, you know, once you start observing something, if it knows you're observing it, it changes the behavior, even if it's just a little bit. So I'm just wondering, like, tell me a little bit about how the wearables work. Is it just like, hey, it works through the Apple Watch I already have on, or do I have to put something else on? And then what are some of the things that you're monitoring for?
Sure. So, you know, we decided a long time ago that there's $64 billion being spent on wearables, and our company's addition to a new wearable doesn't make any sense, right?
Right.
In fact, you see some consolidation where people don't want to wear 12 things. They want to wear one thing that does all of it, right?
And so, I don't want to be a tech Liberace with like 10 rings, some other different stuff, right?
I remember back in the day, they had like a shirt, a tech shirt, with all these pockets for like tablets and cell phones and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, who's going to wear that, right? Kind of thing. And so that's the thought process. The thought process is that we want something that is always on you, ubiquitous, like a watch. In our case, we used the Oura Ring for now, right? We've used Garmin Watch. We've used Whoop before as well. So we're just going to choose the best wearable out there for what we're trying to do. We also have a kind of an idea of BYOB. If you have your own wearable, we can probably work with that. And really, you know, it's really about just making sure that you're constantly monitoring. And if you're wearing it 24/7, you forget you're being monitored, right?
Yeah.
You react, you know, in a normal way. And so that's kind of the thought process for us, is try to get something that is ubiquitous on you all the time. And you have to think about, what do we measure? So what we measure is a lot of the biometrics. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, feelings don't really exist. That's what psychologists tell us, right? Feelings are transitory in the mind. Emotions do. And the reason why emotions do is because their feelings translate into a physical aspect of your body. Like, you're angry, you get headaches, you know, you clench your fists, your heart races and stuff like that. You're ready to go fight. If, you know, you're sad, you're, you know, everything's depressed, you know, everything's cooler. And so really, you know, your body's reacting to how you're feeling, and it's actually more truthful than you tend to be yourself, right? You know, you say, I'm not angry. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're monitoring heart rate spiking, and, you know, and it's not because you're exercising. It's not because, you know, you're having relations or anything like that, right? It's really about the fact that, you know, something pissed you off, right? And that goes back to what I said earlier. If we measure your heart rate variation, your breathing rate, your oxygen level, how you're hyperventilating or not, right, kind of thing, and your sleep, we get a good sense of the things that anxiety really hurts, right? Stress and anxiety really impacts those parts of your life, right? A lot of people with anxiety or stress have heart problems, right? They can't sleep, you know, they have tension issues in their body, right? Because they're always clenching their fists or always grinding their teeth or something like that, right? Because they're trying to deal with the stress. And so those things we can monitor, those things we can measure. And then the idea is that, you know, we start looking at your normal behavior, and then when you deviate from that, and then say, okay, hey, this is when you're stressed. This is what you look like, Mario, when you're stressed. This is what you're doing. This is what the biometrics tell you to do, right? And again, that goes back to, can you recognize you're under stress? Because you don't know you have a problem, you're going to try to solve it. Mm-hmm. But if you know you have a problem, Then you look for solutions and maybe solutions that are easy for you to pick out, right? Because they're your solutions, right? And not just random solutions on the internet. And so that's kind of thought process for us is when we're talking about monitoring people, is to make sure that we kind of check your honesty. We also do some psychometric questionnaires where we try to assess your mood, right? But a lot of the biometric stuff really kind of checks that stuff, right? Because, you know, the first thing we want to teach you is self-awareness and to be honest with yourself. Because you can't really treat mental health issues unless you A, recognize you have it, and B, you're honest about its impact on you, right? And so that's a big part of what we do with the biometrics is just do that. And then after we have that baseline, during the rest of your life, we'll notify you. You know, we'll send you a text. We'll beep your phone, you know, and say, hey, what's going on? And then you say, oh, after this, I'm stressed right now, right? Man, yeah. You take a step back and relax a little bit. Now we're teaching you habits that, you know, allow you to kind of deal with things better so they don't get to the point where you're ramming your car into someone else's car because, you know, he cut you off and it was a bad day and that was the last thing. I think I always joke, I was like a line for Batman. I'm a big comic book nerd to some extent. But the difference between Batman and Joker is one bad day.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, and that's true for all of us. You know, you get the point. You said, like, just build up. That's what burnout is, right? Build up. And then all of a sudden you get the tipping point. You're pissed, you're tired, you're exhausted, and you're just angry, right? And so what we need to do is get you way before that point. And that's what the biometrics do, right? If we start seeing that you're constantly, you know, running on a treadmill, we need to tell you to rest. And it's okay to rest. It's okay to take a break, right? Because you're not going to be effective if you keep pushing yourself. You're not going to think well, you're not going to, you know, all sorts of things. So that's kind of the thought process for us in regards to what we monitor and why we monitor it.
I've never worked with any company that's used something like this. Obviously, it's a relatively new technology, so you wouldn't be able to go far back on the you know, on the old resume to figure that out. But it seems like you'd have to have a pretty forward thinking or sort of progressive minded company to say we care about our people. We know that the best performance will come because of this, but in large part, we care about our people and their mental health, and this is something we want to put in place for them. Is that a overgeneralization in characterizing companies that have used this? Is the trend line where more and more will sort of say, this is not only good for us as a company because it improves our most delicate input in our people, but also just that it's really good for the people. And it's another way in a really competitive labor market right now that you can say, look how much we care about you. And I guess, piggybacking on that, do you have ever see pushback from employees who are like, hey, I appreciate that you're trying to do this for me, but I don't need more Big Brother or anything like that?
So I'll address the first question first. I think, you know, the pandemic, especially, there's a paychecks poll that said, like, you know, 60% of employees will place mental health benefits high in their list of things for their next job, right? That's part of understanding the environment of the job. 80% of millennials will. Right? As their top thing they want is mental health benefits, right? And no, I think companies have talked a lot, HR has talked a lot about trying to promote good environments, good culture and stuff like that. So people feel inclusive, they feel like they can contribute to all this stuff. But a lot of that's just words. You know, how do you actually know if someone needs help? And, you know, how do you get that done? So a lot of companies are like that. But at the end of the day, companies worry about the bottom line. I know they all say they want, like, help employees and, you know, take care of them. But retention is a big deal. You know, especially with the pandemic, you know, and the great resignation, they call it, right? People aren't going to put up with a bunch of garbage. You're not going to they're not going to let you run them into the ground and then choose the next person, right? Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And dunk you, right? And so the idea is that, you know, if we get people to avoid burnout, to manage their stress better, right? Because burnout, according to World Health Organization, is unmanaged chronic stress in the workplace, right? That leads to exhaustion and all sort of stuff. You know, if we get them early and they can manage things going, they're a more productive employee, have better engagement with their coworkers and their customers. They think better and they perform better. And they're more productive. All those things are bottom line things for a company, right? It's not just about looking over their best benefit. Can you keep your best talent? Because I tell you, the people who are getting burnt out are the people that care. Mm-hmm. They're putting the hours in, right?
True.
The guy going home at 4 o'clock, you know, is not caring that much. He's not going to get burnt out, right? And so from that standpoint, you know, you're literally destroying your best employees. You're destroying their attitude towards your company. Destroying their attitude towards the work, right? Because you're just pushing them too hard. And I think, you know, companies have for so long just said, hey, he's doing really well, we just give him more work, right? Mm-hmm. Or she's doing really well, we give her more work. And I don't think that's the formula going forward. Secondly, you know, amazingly, there was a survey by Accenture that said that only like 27%, I believe, number is, of people are reject being monitored. And of those people, 80% are worried about GPS. Everyone's worried about the boss knowing where you are. right? Mm-hmm. So you have something like your Ring where there's no GPS and you don't have to worry about it too much, right?
Yeah.
Because they want, well, now with remote working, I guess it's not that big a deal. But before you weren't in the office, you know, the boss, yeah, they thought the boss would track them on that. The reality is that, you know, people will give data if it helps them, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the caveat. That's the thing that people keep forgetting about the whole privacy issue. Like, you give information to your doctor because your doctor is going to help you. But your doctor keeps it private, you know, it's consistent to you. And, you know, it's not like it's broadcast to the internet, it's marketed to anybody, right? And the idea that, you know, we're concerned about privacy is because you're not acting in our best interests, right? You're not trying to help me out. Yeah. You say, oh, you get better ads, but do I really care about better ads, right?
Yeah.
If I really want something, I'll go look for it, right? Kind of thing. We have a whole internet for that, right?
Yeah. I've always said, if you cared about me with the ads, yeah, you would know when I already bought the thing, so you could stop sending me ads for it, right? I already bought brown shoes. I don't need more brown shoes. I don't want to see brown shoe ads for the next 2 weeks. So,
and also, you know, like, I get, you know, my niece kind of sometimes uses my computer and I get ads for toys and stuff like that. And yeah, like, you know, that's not really relevant. You know, she visited at Christmas time, you know, it's February now. Stop sending me ads, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the question, you know, is the, you know, if the purpose is not to help you, and it really isn't. All these companies saying, you know, oh, we'll help you kind of find better things or better life. They're not helping you in doing that stuff. They're trying to market you and move you along. We have the responsibility to help you. We have to, people won't use our product unless they get outcomes and get them soon, right? Yeah. I like the old Queen song, I want it all and I want it now,
yeah,
kind of thing. That's kind of what people want. I mean, people want this magic pill. And so, like, so you have to set expectations. You have to kind of help work with people to understand the benefits to them, the value. And once you do that, they're more than willing to get their data, right? And the second thing with the big brother aspect from a company, we talk to HR professionals and frontline managers, supervisors, stuff like that. And like I said earlier, none of them want the data. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't want to know how much more you sleep or what your sleep patterns are. What are they going to do with that? Or the morbid curiosity, right? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so from a standpoint, you know, what they want is aggregated data that says, you know, in this organization, you know, 80% of employees are burnt out or angry with the company, right? Mm-hmm. It all points to this boss, who's kind of a jerk, right? Kind, yeah, of thing. And so then, you know, 80% of people can't be wrong, right? So we need to go address that person, right? And so that's kind of what we use the data for. We anonymize it, obviously, but we don't tell them, people, anyone, what the issues are. We just tell, like, people how many people are happy to stay in your organization, how satisfied they are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the way you did it in the past with employee satisfaction is surveys, like yearly surveys. Yeah. Are you happy, yeah, with your job, Marty, right? And
yeah.
They don't mean anything. They're once a year, you know, out of the blue, right?
Right.
But here is a constant pulse on, you know, how your workforce feels like, how to deal with it. And, you know, before it becomes a retention problem, before everyone quits,
yeah,
and you're stuck, you know, and that's the idea.
Yeah. Trung, it's really interesting stuff. Can you tell our audience, if they're interested in learning more, how they find you guys online and where they can get more information?
Sure, sure. Our website is www.amplio.ai. We love questions. You know, we're in the pilot stage right now. We're working through some defense contracts that we're supporting, as well as some commercial companies we're piloting. So you can't get direct access to it right away, but we anticipate by next year, you know, any company can sign up for it. And so from that standpoint, you know, we're definitely doing the due diligence for that. And, you know, we can give you not only access to the company, but research. We work with several universities, including UPenn, Maryland, MIT, and we're working on adding USC to the list. So we get to play latest clinical practice and cognitive therapy on, you know, behavioral therapy. And then, and so from our standpoint, you know, we can provide that to you as well, in case you're wondering about the science. You're kind of a nerd that way, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, we'd like to engage you on. You know, you can always send us an email at contact@amplio.ai and ask the same questions you want.
Perfect. Well, I think it's really interesting stuff, and certainly feels like the wave of the future, that we're going to combine better services for individuals, not just in trying to sell them something, but in actually trying to help them. And I just think what you're working on is really quite interesting. So I appreciate you taking some time with us today and sharing this with our audience.
Thanks, Mario. I really appreciate you talking to me, and it's been a lot of fun.
That'll do it for this episode. I want to thank our sponsors at Valcom. At Valcom, you get much more than a dedicated IT retailer. They become an extension of your IT team. Whether you're a startup or an enterprise, Valcom has the technical, sales, and engineering expertise to make your business more effective and more productive. Check them out at vlcm.com. That's vlcm.com. Special thanks as well to our supporting partners, the Utah Division of Technology Services, the Kem C. Gardner Policy Institute, the Utah Attorney General's Office, the Utah Department of Public Safety, and our friends at Secuvant. A reminder, you can follow us on Twitter @cyber24_, or you can hit us up on Facebook as well. well. We want to hear from you in either place to let us know what you think, or if you have a topic you'd like to hear us discuss on a future episode. You can also rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. We love those 5-star ratings. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week and stay safe online.